ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय एवं च भगवान् कृष्णो वृन्दावनक्षरक्वचित् यया रामन्विते राजं करुन्धिं Satyadeva. O King and Supreme Lord Krishna. One second, I just need to do something here. Is everybody still there?
Hare Krishna.
Okay, still there. Okay, good. One second. I'm trying to do one thing here. I don't know why it's not working. Anyway. Okay. Okay, the Supreme Lord Krishna thus wandered about the Vrindavan area, performing his pastimes. Once surrounded by his boyfriends, he went without Balaram to the Jamuna River. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnanam Jnana Shalakaya Tastudam Nirtam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sāpitam yena bhūtale Sayam rūpa kadamāyam Sadati sāpadam tisam Sancha kaupa taru bhyascha Vipāshim tu vaivacha Patitānam pāvanevyo Vaisnadevyo namo namā Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Govardhan Hill. This must be my, I can't even remember how many, but observance of the month of Kartik, especially in Vrindavan, it's a very, very potent month. It's the Kartik, comes from Kirti Das, the month of Sri Radha, and her mercy is readily available. Especially for those who perform the Kartik Vrata, make some vows to increase their devotional absorption, especially those who observe it in Vrindavan. And here in Govardhan, my place is beyond, right behind the ISKCON Center, which is the former king's residence. The kings of India used to be Vaishnavas, and one king in Madhya Pradesh hundreds of years ago used to come here to perform his bhajan, his spiritual practices. But because he was a king, he had a retinue, he had an entourage, and he needed the proper protection. So he built a very small palace, which is turned into a monastery. And I've been going there every day between 1 and 2, where we read commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on Krishna Leela. We're reading Akura comes to Vrindavan. Especially touching is when Akura arrives, and you know, it's wonderful, his mood of entering Vrindavan. His mind is already there. That's real pilgrimage. Your mind is already there. So he's going towards Vrindavan, and he's going with great expectations that he's going to actually see his Lord Krishna, even though he was sent by the evil King Kamsa to bring Krishna back to Mathura. So he's on this journey, but his mind is already there. And that's real pilgrimage. For example, in Govardhan last year was lecturing on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was entering Vrindavan. And you know, how he was, you know, they used to enter by walking. But even though it took longer, because you went in the mode of goodness, and your mind was always, when you got there, you could become fully absorbed. In modern days, you know, it takes a 13-hour, 14-hour plane ride, and there's so much distractions on the plane. And sometimes your body arrives, but your mind arrives weeks later or something, or days later. But it's so nice when he entered and how Krishna received him because Akura was his uncle. But when Krishna put his hand on his head, a very nice image, he was describing the wonderful fragrance of Krishna, who has all opulence. Anyway, it's nice. So they're doing that. Also, I go in the evening and we're reading the Bhagavatam. I don't go for the whole session because I have other spiritual commitments, but they do for 3 hours. Keshava Bharti Maharaj, Jayadvaita Swami, Ashesha Prabhu, and whoever else wants to come is welcome to come and sit there. But they're reading the pastime of the Dura who went on pilgrimage. And they read one verse, which is my favorite, which describes the mood of the Dura on pilgrimage. And it said, Chare Vatani Haritoshanani. Chare Vatani means he made a vow, Haritoshanani, only for God, only for Vishnu. And I often make the point that, you know, what spiritual life, spiritual practice means is bhakti yogena manasi samyak paniyate malay, samyak completely, without malay, without dirt, without distraction. That's spiritual life. So it's very, very hard to achieve that consciousness with all the responsibilities we have in life, from work to family to even institutional responsibilities to those under our care responsibilities, to health responsibilities. But for spiritual practice, as much as possible, we try to reserve a time and place that's only for God. And the concept of upasana, asana means seat, upasana means to sit near. The term for worship is to sit near. And sitting near is not just physical proximity. Sitting near is consciousness. Therefore, someone has an asana, a practice, and it means when he's sitting on the seat, it's exclusive for his practice. Spiritual practice in front of a computer with your bead bags, by your library with your bead bags, with your, you know, with your mantras mixed in, you know, it has to be some exclusive, and that's the chore. I'm doing a non-vrata, so I rise very early. It's obviously the morning hours are the best. And the process of bhakti, I see, you know, I try with my determination in my mind to focus clearly on the mantra, because that's what meditation is. Meditation is in the movie reel of the mind, to put the same object in each, I don't know what you call it, each little square of the reel of movie, you know, the same thing. But I can see, even for one mantra, how difficult it is to keep the same thing, how other things enter. Anyway, by the effort, you try, but you can see when the effort is mixed with heart, and the heart that comes from a sense of desperation of our own inability to actually meditate, when it's actually mixed with heart, then in the process of bhakti, which is devotion, and devotion means reciprocal relationship, then instead of just you trying to come focused and clear on the mantra comes to you. Satchinandana Swami once told me something that a sadhu told him. A sadhu asked him, are you chanting the mantra, or the mantra is chanting you? So in spiritual life, in bhakti process, it's not just you're chanting the mantra, but if you make effort with heart, then the mantra comes to you. Okay, I'm going to ignore the static here. So anyway, can you hear me there, people? Rati? Rati?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Yeah, you can hear me?
Very well.
You can hear me?
Okay. I can.
Thank you. Okay. So, from my side, I'm hearing some kind of buzz or something.
Yes, I hear it also.
Yeah, okay, but you can hear me. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, we have this. Okay. I tried several times to mute the phone, and I'm going to try again. It doesn't work. I don't know why. Okay. Okay, so now we'll get to the pastime. But one point that came, and that I thought, it's just Vaisheshika Prabhu said something. He said, I don't have my notes here. He says, when you appreciate your devotion appreciates. kind of like a little pun on the word. That pun, yeah, it has double meaning. Appreciate, which means you respect, and appreciate also means to increase. So that's actually this kind of process, and why it's so important to hear about those who have pure love for Krishna. Because when you appreciate them, that which you appreciate appreciates. Your devotion appreciates it. And that's really what a wonderful process bhakti is. Because it's dealing, it's conception. The idea is that the spiritual consciousness that is pure is one which is filled with selflessness and love. So it's to increase that attachment, the attachment to God, which is inclusive of everything else. So we'll feel the bhakti hopefully when we're reading it. So this is Maharaj Prickett, and he's explaining the pastimes of Krishna. No, it's Sukadeva Goswami. And he's explaining the pastimes to Maharaj Prickett, who now is in the last days of his life. And he realizes fully, because the first question he asked was, what is the duty of a man who's about to die? And what should he not do? And the king, the great saint, answered that one should chant, hear, remember, and worship Krishna. One should worship the divine. and here. And by that, the nature of the soul, which is to serve and love the divine, will manifest fully in the heart. And when you have that consciousness fully, then there's no longer connection to the mind and body, which is external to the self, and which has been given, the identification with it has been given to the self, to egotistically, vicariously, fulfill its desire to be the center rather than the servant. So developing that consciousness completely breaks the attachment and illusion that I am the mind and body, and therefore cures one of the illusion of non-existence, which only happens when you have the misidentification with the body and mind, which is transforming. And one of the transformations is non-existence. It's not happening in the soul. It's happening in the body and mind, which one identifies with. So that is broken by developing this full devotion and love within the heart. So, we'll go over this verse, O King. O King. Sukadeva Goswami is very enthusiastic about this subject because he loves God, he loves Krishna, and he's been talking about Krishna for 7 days. And he's completely absorbed in these leelas and these pastimes. I was seeing that yesterday. I can see also right now I'm losing my voice. And I'm not prepared with maybe I can find a throat lozenge in my throat. This is Vrindavan. Obstacles that increase love. Obstacles that increase enthusiasm. Okay. So he has this, excuse me, he has this devotion. He's completely absorbed in these wonderful pastimes. And he's very emotional thinking about them. Because the pastimes is pure devotion, which is a very intense emotion of love, which is churned in these different stories. So he says, O King, the Supreme Lord thus wandered about the Vrindavan area performing his pastimes. So very interesting. It says, Vrindavana Chara, he was, wandering. Like Krishna is wandering through the forest with his cows, just as an ordinary cowherd boy. But Bhagavan, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. So this is a very, very beautiful thing, because although it's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has a private life. He has a sweetness. We'll be reading in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, those of you that come on the Sunday, that Krishna is in separation from the residents of Vrindavan, thinking about all their pain, and he begins to cry uncontrollably. And Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and born from him is the first created being, Lord Brahma, who, therefore, he's the father of Lord Brahma. He's the father of all living entities. And now he's the father of Lord Brahma. He instructed him when he was confused. He's also the guru. So Brahma has great reverence and devotion, prabhuta jnan, knowledge and understanding of the greatness and majesty of God. But now he sees him crying uncontrollably in separation. He sees the heart. He never saw that intimate side before. And he begins to cry uncontrollably, seeing that, seeing the heart. It's a very beautiful conception that not only is there a divine absolute reality, but there's a divine absolute reality that has heart when he is not covered by his majesty and divinity. So it's Bhagavan, but he's wandering in the forest. I remember when I went to the university, my God, that was 40 years ago. It seems like yesterday. And I remember very clearly when I first got the Krishna book, The Pastimes of Krishna. And at the same time, I was, my major, you have to have a major in school, was philosophy. And I remember reading, it made so much sense to me, Bhagavan, Vrindavana, Chara, that this absolute reality had a sweet private life where he did not have to remain distant and far, and those who worship him didn't have to be in fear, a healthy fear of superior. It's part of a type of love, but it's not the most intense, but it's a very beautiful thing to worship in. Shesh Kabu was saying he went to Montreal, so he went to the same church that Prabhupada visited, Notre Dame in Montreal. And he walked into it, and he was reading how about the conversation when Prabhupada was visiting there. And the first thing that he felt when he was in there was the reverence, the majesty of God. And that's a very, very beautiful thing. But there's another aspect which is very, very sweet and takes even precedence over that majesty. It's just like someone may have great position, but you may have personal relationship with them. And when you're with them, the personal relationship covers the position. If it's your friend, you do not see that it's the governor or the president. The intimate side is much more attractive, although it does not have the same grandeur. If you read Prabhupada's description of Krishna book, and then you read books like Baladeva Vidyabhushana's Aishwarya Kandambini, and there's many books that describe the Vrindavan forest as, you know, beautiful but opulent, with jeweled pathways and crystal palaces and so many things. When you read Prabhupada, you don't see the opulence because he's so much in the view of intimacy. So it seems like just a little village with mud huts. You don't see that because it's much more beautiful. So this conception of Vrindavan Chara, that Krishna is sweetly, beautifully playing his flute and wandering through the forest of Vrindavan. But still, Bhagavan, he's still great. He's not diminished that aspect. So when I was in the university, and I remember one day that I used to live off campus. It would take about 20 minutes to get to the college. And it was Friday night, and it was some kind of party or some kind of social event, which normally I may go to. And I got this book, and I don't want to go. And I began to read it and read about Vrindavan Chara, the sweet intimacy of this beautiful, divine, full manifestation of love. Playing his flute, a peacock feather in his hair, cascading black lotus eyes. This, you know, the beauty and the intimacy, then I understood, yes, if the definition of God, dictionary definition that my philosophy professor was giving, that being of which no greater can be conceived, then this must be God. Because I can conceive of a greater God than one who is sitting distant and powerful. That's one who is distant and powerful, but has a sweet, intimate life. A pure, unalloyed rasa, or perfected love, that is always churning and heightened within these pastimes. So this is a pastime of that type of love. And O King, Sukadeva Goswami, he's breaking in tears. He's so affected, he can't even pronounce Radharani's name in the Bhagavatam because he has so much devotion for Radharani that if he ever says her name, he'll break down. So he's very much involved in these things. I can see here in Govardhan when you read these pastimes and at that 1 to 2, just before lunch, you're just reading the commentaries and pastimes and just thinking of them and discussing them. There's a reality that comes beyond the story, and that's the reality of devotion and love, which is flowing within these pastimes. And if one hears them in the right way, he appreciates, and his appreciation appreciates. It increases. Once surrounded by his boyfriend, Krishna is with his intimate friends, which exchange this intimate equality of love called Sakyaras. He went without Balaram. I think it was just after his birthday or his birthday. Balaram may ask him to stay back. He leaves without Balaram. And he goes to the Jamuna River, which is Kalindam. Kalindam means which destroys Kali, which is the name. Even the Jamuna today, I bathed in the Jamuna, you know, it's apparently polluted, but anyway, I bathed in the Jamuna. When I was first here in Vrindavan, I remember Prabhupada gave the instruction to do kirtan and go to the Jamuna every day. For 2 years I did that, every day for 2 years. I think that's the basis of my spiritual life. Because I remember the transcendental, the spiritual effect from bathing in a holy river. The upliftment of consciousness, that it destroys Kali. Atagavasya nidaga tapapidita sistam Shalam Patikasya Krishnasa Vishadushitam. At that time, the cows and cowherd boys were feeling acute distress in the glaring summer sun. Afflicted by thirst, they drank the water of the Jamuna River that it had been contaminated by poison. So the transcendental drama unfolds. Trisha Arsa, they're tormented by thirst. Why? Nidaga, it's the summer. Atapa, by the glaring sun, Hidata, their distress. So they rush ahead to the Jamuna because of the summer. There's a famous saying here in India, only the mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. That's just my dilemma here. You know, I wear the robe, and I don't have dark Indian skin that's suited to the sun. I got this ancestral Russian blood and this pink skin, and the heat doesn't do me well. I have enough heat in my body. I always wear a hat, and to try to match a hat to a dhoti, but I don't care what I look like anymore. I can tell you very frankly, I wear my baseball cap or whatever. But anyway, so this is the now. They drink the water, but it's contaminated with poison, and they lose consciousness.
As
soon as they touch the poison water, all the cows and boys lost their consciousness by the divine power of the Lord and fell lifeless at the water's edge. So they, by touching it, they lost their consciousness, Daiva, by the mystic potency, and all this is the potency of Krishna, his Lila Shakti, his potency to create pastimes that invoke love. So that rules supreme. And by this potency, the cows go ahead for the purpose of the pastimes, and they lose consciousness and everything else for the purpose of the pastimes. Because the lila or the pastimes will create emotional situations that will take their natural affection to Krishna and Krishna's affection to them and heighten it to the most relishable level. Love at the highest level is the greatest pleasure. It's the most relishable thing. And the conception here is that the divine absolute reality is this rasa. It's this divine love, which one is meant to participate in eternally if one wants to. If you exclusively want that, you have that, which requires an elevation of consciousness that is free from anarthas, artha value, anartha, those things that don't have value to love. We really have to be selfless and pure. If you want the highest pleasure, you want the highest love, you have to be for others exclusively. Anya virashita shunyam jnana karma jnanabhritam Anukuyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. Anya Bilashita Shunyam. Anya Bilash. Anya means others. Abilash, desires. Without. Shunyam, zero. Without any other consideration. Jnana Karma Jnanavitam. Not covered by desire for liberation, which means still personal desire, or fruitive intentions, material desires. So, guys, at this lila, we have to purify ourselves and want it. I always give people a check to silence themselves and really, really deeply look into their hearts, really deeply look into their hearts, and hear voices of desire
What bhakti means is when the voice or the desire to serve God takes precedence over anything else. Even when one becomes humble, one is free from ego. It's greater than anything else. And the example was Prahlad Maharaj, who was a young, great devotee, and his father was a demoniac king, and his father wanted him to stop worshiping God and said that, "I will throw you into a pit of deadly snakes . Give up your worship of God." And the young boy said, "My dear father, separation from the service of the divine Krishna, that's more painful than the snake bite of separation is more painful than the snake bite of an ordinary poisonous viper." His devotion could not be broken because there was nothing greater than service to Krishna. And there was nothing more painful than giving it up. O hero of the Kurus. Again, Kuru Udvaha, O hero of the Kurus. O hero of the Kurus. Again, we're seeing Sukadeva Goswami. He's speaking, but he's speaking with emotion, and he's trying to console Maharaj Prickett. Because Maharaj Prickett, it's not that he's going to die in a few days. It's that he's listening to these pastimes with so intent that he's actually feeling for the residents of Vrindavan he's absorbed in the drama, and he's feeling the emotions. Oh, Master, seeing them in such a condition, Lord Krishna, the master of all mystic potency, felt compassion to these devotees. So that's a beautiful type of love. Compassion is a beautiful type of love. It's a love that flows from above. So now, Krishna, they're his friends, but his friends are in distress, and he has compassion. He is unable to bear their distress. That's what compassion means. You feel for the suffering of others. He felt compassion for his devotees who had no other Lord than himself, Vanaka. Swanaka. Naka means controller or master. Swanaka, it's their only shelter. And that's actually reality. That the divine is our shelter because we're part of the divine. And it's a real shelter. And shelter means where the needs that you are lacking will be found. But the ultimate need that we're lacking is an object of love that can reciprocate perfectly. And therefore, fill our heart with love, because that's ultimately what we're lacking. On the existential platform, we're eternal. We're unchanging. So what are we lacking? We're lacking something in consciousness. And the consciousness is full love. And that's what, that's ultimately the only thing that can fully satisfy us. And God is that shelter, that divine shelter. Because he's an object of love that's eternal, and he's an object of love that is real, and he's an object of love that is very dear. So that's their shelter, Krishna. And when you take shelter, then there's natural reciprocation in that relationship. Then they're protected. And one who fully takes shelter of God, he feels protected. And he understands that whatever happens is best. Unflinchingly has that faith. I told the story often about my mother's first cousin, who was a chaplain in the World War II. And consoled the people on the USS Dorchester as they were hit by a U-2 submarine and the ship was sinking, and there were four chaplains and they got everyone else off the ship, or as many people as possible. And there weren't enough lifeboats, but they saved everyone else first. They had a shelter, and they understood that if they do what's right, if they do their duty, if they take shelter of God, they are protected, even in death. Thus, he immediately brought them back to life by showering his nectarian glance upon them. So they took shelter immediately, back to life, and the glance is Amrita Varshina. Amrita means without death. It means nectar. Varshina, it was like a shower. Varshina means rain. So they felt a rain of nectar. And what was the nectar? It's Krishna's compassion. It's not only that he's saving them, but the act of saving them is his protection or love. And they're feeling it. And this is rasa. This is bhava. They're feeling it, and they're feeling it with others. And therefore, the lila or the pastime is heightening the devotion to the highest degree. And they're experiencing that. Te sampita smitaya sampiya jalantika. Asansu vismita sarve vikshamana paraskaram. Regaining their full consciousness, the cows and boys stood up out of the water and began to look at one another in great astonishment. For one, they're remembering the rumor that they heard that Gargamuni said that he would be God, but that he's thinking they're just his friends. And they're amazed at Krishna's potency. And they're surprised. Surprise means it's an expression of love when the object of your love does something very wonderful. You just become amazed, and therefore you experience your love for them through this emotional experience of wonderment. But, you know, they're fixed that it's their friend, and that's the potent, the prominent mood. But the aishwarya or the greatness or the opulence somehow is increasing their sweetness. It's just like a mother. They have a mood of anugraha, compassion, kindness towards their child. They'll always see their child as needing their love, And even if their child achieves something very, very great that shows that they're powerful and independent, it will never cover that mother's conception that the child is in need of their nourishment and maintenance. But that greatness that the child achieves when they're later, maybe becomes the president or the king, that grandeur will increase their particular relationship. So this grandeur that they were all dead and Krishna just showered his glance of mercy upon them increased their love. And they remember, and not only that, lights went off with a flashlight here. Andama Shitapadraja, O king. Govinda Nubrahekshitam Sitvabasham Paretasya Puna Utanamatmana. O king, the coward boys then considered that although they had drunk poison and in fact died, simply by the merciful glance of Govinda they had regained their lives and stood up by their own strength. How much devotion and happiness are they feeling? And they have real love. There's no selflessness in them. Their happiness is Krishna. They're attached to Krishna. And it's a real, it's not just a mental or intellectual, it's a shakti or potency. It's the bliss potency, the sarup shakti, the internal potency of God, which is the happiness potency, the real pleasure potency, the fullest extent, which is love and devotion, is flowing from their heart like a river. And it's just flowing deeply through their heart. And it's just been the floodgates of that because of Aravinda Anugraha Ikshitam, because the Anugraha, the merciful Ikshitam glance of Govinda, the merciful glance of Govinda, Sitva. Although they had drank poison and lost their lives, once again, utana, they're rising up on their own. But how? They thought, Govinda Anugrah Ikshitam, by the merciful glance of Govinda, they stood up. So this is rasa, this is bhav, and this is what's happening in the lila. The daiva, the divine potency, is creating these wonderful moments that increase this, that open the heart to this loving potency of God, which he wants to place in the hearts of his devotees for his own pleasure and theirs. Okay. Right here in Vrindavan, it's the class is at 5:30 in the morning. So usually at that time I'm chanting for my Kartik Vrata. I'm usually up much, much earlier than that. So this is my plan today. What I'm doing is whenever I give the class, so I can complete my Vrata before noon. It's very nice. So every time I'll give the class, then after the class, do my deity worship, and then I'll just go out into Govardhan and then come back when I'm finished. I'll just walk out into Govardhan. There won't be any distraction, and I'll just come back when I'm finished. It's actually a very, very blissful day. Today I'll go to Govindakund, and I'll go to the ashram of Siddha Mahatma Manohar Baba, which is a great mystic bhakta. And there's only a few of his disciples left, a few old sadhus. And I'll probably just walk there. It'll take me about 45 minutes chanting, and then I'll go sit there. And I'll do the rest of my chanting there and watch the miracles of Vrindavan unfold, the sadhus that I'll meet. And then I'll try to come back by 1 o'clock so that I can go to the very relishable readings of, they read the story from Krishna book and then the commentaries of Vishwanath and Sarathi Darshini. And then discussion among people who actually have that relish. And then we take lunch, always just so nicely cooked. And then maybe a little rest, and then do a few things, and then back there to hear the Bhagavatam, and then Dhamma Dharashtika, which exemplifies this this month. Because Namamishwaram Tachiranandarupam Lasat Kundalam Dokule Vajamanam Yasodabiyo Luka Lavdavyamanam. It's celebrating the wonderful pastime where Mother Yasoda tied up Krishna, who stole the butter, and then she was chasing him. And it said that this Ananda would put the residents of Gokul in absolute bliss, the infinite side of the divine. And I don't want Vaikuntha, I don't want any high liberation. Just let this remain in my mind, because these pastimes exemplify the highest devotional feelings. Anybody like to ask a question? It'd be nice if someone would like to say hello.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna.
You often distinguish between the fact that Krishna is eternal and the fact that he is real. And I know eternal means real to me.
Eternal does mean real. It does.
But,
not to say did you say bhavo, nabhavo, did you say that which is eternal is real. Right. But it's different ways of describing the same thing. One means that if you offer your love to the divine, you won't be disappointed because it will never die.
Right.
And the other says, and therefore, because it never dies, and artha means real. There's another element to that. I think it's a little bit different. It's not only never dies, but that's essentially what it is. And something which is temporary, it's not the real thing. You're imposing some kind of reality on it, in one sense. Because it's temporary. Something like that. It's like waves in the ocean. They never stay the same. So it's that, the wave is constantly changing. But there's a real substance, which is the water, of course. So something like that. There's a slight difference, I think.
Listen, what was the name of that book that you were, instead of going...
Sarathi Darshini. It's a translation by Bhanu Swami, edited by Mahanidhi, of the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on the 10th canto. And it's Sarathi Darshini is the name that Vishwanath gave it. Thank you so much, Gail. I'm so appreciative that you're such a supporter and all these years listening both times. Thank you. Anyone else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, this is Rajarade.
Rajarade, also appreciative that you and Govardhan Bhakta are always listening to the Sangha. Wow. No one can criticize New Jersey. It's the Dale and where you're coming from. Yeah, great. Although I make jokes about it sometimes, but it's just Rasa, not Tetsa. Anyone else like to say hello? Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Maharaj.
Who's this?
This is Jennifer.
Jennifer, thank you. You've become a regular now on both days.
Yes,
wonderful.
I wouldn't miss it.
Oh, that makes me real happy. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you, everyone.
Wow. You like to hear about Krishna's pastimes, huh?
I do. I have a question, and I know I am very uneducated. Why why is it referred to as pastime instead of story? Is there a particular meaning by using the term?
Okay. Yeah, you know, this is translated really by the first time by my Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, there are Sanskrit words, right, which sometimes can't be exactly translated into English, you know. So basically, sometimes he would have to coin his own language, and then by hearing him speak, you would understand what those words mean. For example, even the word Krishna consciousness, it comes from a Sanskrit term, Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati. Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati, the consciousness, Bhavato, in the mood of devotion, of Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa, one's relationship with God. But the reason pastimes instead of stories, because it's not considered mythological. It's considered a reality. So if he would use the word stories, it would maybe in English would indicate more of a mythological thing. But they don't consider this mythological. So pastime indicates some kind of play, but that has more of a historical thing. So maybe that's why he chose the word. Okay.
I love it. I understand it's viscerally. It's I know it's different than stories, but it is. It seems very. There is a very precise indication of this is something that's happened, and yet it's. Almost like if it's a teaching and it's something that's happened and it's a lesson. I don't know. To me, I know there was a difference, but I wasn't sure if I was on the right track. But the way you're explaining it, it makes sense.
Thank you. Do you practice at Yoga Maya regularly?
I just came back from Bryn's class.
Okay.
Why
don't you say hello next time to the people there for me, okay?
Absolutely, I will tell them that you're
listening to my classes of Krishna's stories. Maybe someone would be interested. Anyway,
yes,
you can say hello to Bryn. Okay,
I will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good. Great. It's so nice when. New people, you know, join our Sangha. That's great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Chris in PA.
Oh, okay, Chris. Yeah, I just got your letter. I was going to tell you about, you know, I think Leela, I think the reason that she didn't answer you. I think she got a little ill, and then her brother-in-law came or something, and she took them on a pilgrimage to the south. That's why she's not in Vrindavan right now, probably wasn't on. But I'll get in contact with her and speak to her soon. Okay, good.
Great, thank you.
Chris is coming with his family to Vrindavan at the end of the month, so that's really nice. Anybody else like to say hello? I'm also getting nice letters. A lot of people listen to these by podcast, which Repi puts out. And a regular listener now is Vajiki Shu. I always get notes on the different parts of the pastime that he likes. And he sent me something that was really interesting on the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This was like really interesting on the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It describes that, you know, the residents from Vrindavan in separation from Krishna were trying to commit. They wanted to give up their lives, but the Jamuna was poisoned. So Krishna removed the poison so they couldn't poison themselves, and they wanted to jump off of Govardhan Hill, but it shrunk in separation. And then it described the next thing they wanted to do was starve themselves to death, but they couldn't because they were drinking the amrita, the nectar of the holy names of Krishna. And therefore, they said that their only choice of dying in separation of Krishna was that the forest had become dry and they can die in a great fire of separation. So Vrijakishore, he wrote me, he said, "Wow, this sounds like Iendra." It sounds like Iendra, you know, in separation. He's drinking the nectar of the holy name. So, anyway, it's sad, but it's okay. Anyway, I really deeply appreciate all the devotees that, excuse me. All the devotees that are listening to the Sanghas, whether by the podcasts or especially, you know, live. And it's always better to get class in the morning. Now, the other class comes at 6:30 in the evening now, the 9 o'clock one in the morning, and I have to somehow find out how to gear for that. This is at the end of the day. Anyway, thank you all.